Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Today, my interview with California Senator Mike Morrell. All God-fearing patriots will be greatly encouraged, inspired, and alerted by what this fine Christian man has to say to us. But first, I want to take a moment to address this latest effort to snare Trump, the Mueller-Trump talks. Ha! Asking Trump to agree to talks with this crowd? Well, that's like asking you to walk through a river boiling with piranha. Remember the book Swimming with Sharks? It's a bizarre fictional story built around a core principle governing the dynamic of climbing the corporate ladder of success. You know, clawing, biting, backstabbing, gossiping, character assassination, you know, the do anything and walk over anyone to get ahead type. So the takeaway is if you swim with sharks, expect to get eaten. Of course, this is contrary to anyone's idea of a Christian approach to, well, anything. How can Christians survive in the shark tank? The Bible actually does speak to this question, only it employs a different analogy or metaphor. Jesus instructs us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves as the operating principle. He likens the wicked and unreasonable, the haters of righteousness, the despisers of those that are good, you know, the seed of the serpent types, the snakes. In other words, what the world calls sharks, Jesus calls snakes. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, he said, of the artful and malicious religious leaders of his day, corresponding in many ways to the political correct police, the socialist hyphen fascist among the so-called progressives, trying to control our thoughts. And if they can't control our thoughts, they're going to control what we say. There is a way to handle serpents so that they cannot hurt you. Jesus said, we shall tread on serpents. Speaking of those children of disobedience who are taken captive by the king of serpents at his will. And Mark 16 talks about the miracle that believers will take up serpents without being harmed. And while that no doubt was fulfilled literally when Paul was bitten by vipers but unharmed, there is certainly a spiritual application to this. The point of all of this is that believers need to know how to handle snakes. Because, man, we're walking through snake pits. And what is needed today is a book for Christians and politics under the title, Handling Snakes. Pray for President Trump. He is surrounded by snakes, vipers like Mueller, Rosenstein, Wiseman, known as a super shark by his peers, a snake, an aggressive viper that operates on the presumption of guilt, by the way, who, with snake-like cleverness, wins convictions that are, more often than others in his field, overturned. I read in one article that his Z for Zorro mark would be recognized by all in the early dawn raid of Cohen's office and home, snubbing the usual protocol of meeting with the target's representatives before such a move, bypassing the inconvenience of obtaining a warrant in the usual way, and, the tactic of finding some vulnerability in anyone connected to a target, even if it's a wife of a subordinate, anyone with any possible legal vulnerability that he could connect to somebody, so he can go after them and attack them as a way of pressuring someone they're connected to flip. You know, no kidding, this guy has a long string of overturned convictions, all of this earning him the nickname of Mueller's pit bull. Now, these are the snakes Trump must handle with care. Mueller should never have been appointed. I brought out the reasons in last week's show. Mueller should have been limited to a specific time frame and his investigation narrowed to within specific parameters. But they purposely made it wide open. They knew what they were doing. And as soon as he strayed beyond those parameters, he should have been fired. Mueller has obviously had the time he needs to have completed his investigation, and he should shut down. Congress needs to shut him down. The bottom line is that the never-Trumpers are circling the wagons around this guy because he is useful as a way to keep beating on Trump over and over, right? He's the stick in the hand of the bullies, the never-Trumpers, that they're using to just beat him and beat him and beat him, hoping to distract Trump from the work that the people sent him there to do. And that's to drain that stinking swamp. Make no mistake about this, my friends. This is the deep state spurning we the people. Because the American voter went outside, how dare you, went outside the establishment, yeah, and picked a rogue representative of the people, you see, an outsider. And so you're to be punished for this, and your vote is to be discounted. Anyway, here's the deal. Trump is right to be wary of talking to Mueller. He is right to say no way until we can establish assurances and safeguards against being snared in their snake pit. Frankly, I've heard the questions purported to be those Mueller wants to ask, and the only appropriate answer to virtually all of them is, that's none of your business. He has no right to probe into a man's thoughts. What is obvious is that Mueller has nothing for all his work thus far, and their last-ditch hope to get something is to get Trump to ramble on and hopefully, they hope, say something, anything, they can use to ensnare him, to make him an offender for a word. All right. I like Hannity's offer. You know, give Trump the same deal they gave Hillary. No recording of the meeting. Questions vetted in advance. Not under oath. No transcription allowed. Can you believe this stuff? Yeah, that was the deal Hillary insisted on and got it, by the way. And you know what would happen if Trump insisted on the same thing? Yeah, you know exactly what would happen. I am so sick and tired of the double standard of these people. It's at the point now, you know what? Until they indict Hillary, there is nothing they can indict Trump for that would impress me in any negative way at all. Forget it. I have nothing. I don't want to hear anything from you people. Until you do something about Hillary, you have no right to cast judgment upon anybody else. No way. Congress should pass a law that says unless the DOJ indicts Hillary, the DOJ must be shut down. Every case they want to make against anyone should be reviewed by a special committee and open public hearings. I'm tired of these people. That probably needs further thought. But you get what I mean. The DOJ, including the FBI, is broken. It's a failed system. It has become the Department of Injustice. It's a political tool controlled by liberals and used to subvert the Constitution of the United States and the will of the people. But I'm here to tell you that God is on his throne and he is engaged in these matters. And Sunday night, I'm going to be completing my set of messages on divine intervention. The first message presented the mystery of divine intervention. The wicked would call it the divine interference. the mysterious way in which God intervenes in the affairs of men. And then the second outlined the five laws of intervention. And that's where we come into play here. That's the five laws of intervention. This coming Sunday, I'll be applying the divine mystery and the divine laws to current cases. And the first case will be to the question of when should a divinely ordained power intervene in the affairs of other nations, specifically Syria, Iran, North Korea, so forth. And then I'm going to turn my attention to how God intervenes in matters like the corruption in the American Department of Justice and rooting out the deep state apparatchiks that are undermining our republic, including the socialist communists that are embedded throughout our education system in this country. Now, how can we get God into this mess? How to get God to pull the plug and drain the swamp. Now, I'm going to take a short break, and when I get back, I'm going to let you hear my interview with California Senator Mike Morrell as he talks about the importance of believers letting their light shine in the darkness of Sacramento, how we can make a difference in this state, and he gives us some inside insight into what's going on in our state, particularly with AB 2943, so you are in for a treat. Hang on through the break. I'll be right back.
Dr. Scheidbach is a well-respected expert on Bible prophecy. His emphasis is on what the Bible actually teaches about the end times, so don't expect any sensationalism or exaggerated claims or irresponsible date setting. Rather, exciting Bible truth about the future and how to interpret current events in the light of biblical prophecy. Christ chastised those who could not discern the signs of the times. Learn how in this exciting series, taught with charts, graphs, and many visuals, along with notes that are available online for those who register for the course. Better bring your diving gear, because Dr. Scheidbach takes you deep into the waters of God's Word to make plain the mysteries of biblical prophecy at the Lighthouse. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at Lighthouse Baptist Church, your brain masseur at Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. For those who do not know the senator, You can Google Senator Mike Morrell. But in brief, he represents the 23rd District. That would be Northeast Inland Empire. Let's say San Bernardino, Lake Arrowhead, Big Bear, Crestline, Hemet. My dad and I used to pick around Hemet for tourmaline, other interesting rocks, Yucaipa, Redlands. That should give you an idea. Senator Morrell has been a small business owner serving the Inland Empire for over 25 years. The senator's view of government is simple. Government exists to serve the public, not to be served by it. The right to private property, the gift of free enterprise, and government by consent are central tenets to our nation and its continued prosperity. He is committed to restoring fiscal responsibility and an approach to government that limits government's power and ranks the citizen above the state. Mike graduated from Damien High School in Laverne and earned his Bachelor of Arts degree in business at the University of Laverne. Married for over 38 years with three adult children, and he's a God-fearing patriot. He has served in our state assembly and now serves in the state senate. And so, my friends, without further ado, let's have a conversation with Senator Mike Morrell. Hello, Senator. Welcome to the Brain Massage Show.
Well, thank you for allowing me to be here.
And thank you for the action plan you shared with pastors a few months ago. You might remember where I met you and I was in Sacramento.
Yes, absolutely.
I took careful notes, my friend. I want you to know that I'm implementing the ideas that you presented.
Well, you know what? Thanks to you and other pastors, they are too. You know, for years, we have not won any victories around here. But when we get God's people involved with these pastors and citizens wake up, we have five bills we targeted this year. You know, we could target 50, but we're right. Getting these pastors to show that something's going on here, that the good Lord's, you know, on the move, right?
There you go.
So we targeted five bills. We've got three down we've killed, and two of them were the homeschooling bills of the pastors. So we still have till the end of the year, and we only have to get two more, which I think it shows that there is something going on when good people. Edmund Burke said, evil only triumphs when
That's
good
right.
men and women do nothing.
That's
and
right.
good folks of California are starting to wake up. And that bill, this homeschooling bill, look, at they had, at the beginning of these bills, they wanted the fire department to come in, health
yeah.
and safety, to inspect people's personal property.
Yeah.
And with, you know, I guess if you weren't up to the code of a school with sprinklers, they'd probably close you down. They also wanted, the reason homeschools are doing so superior to our public schools is the parents are deciding the curriculum, right?
There you go.
Many of these are your great books program, you know, your classical education, and
right.
that's why they're soaring. So the second thing these my friends across the aisle, the Dems, wanted to do here in Sacramento is they wanted to determine some of the curriculum, and then they wanted to get the parents credentialed as teachers, which, as you know, would take years. And so
oh, yeah.
they were, in effect, trying to kill the homeschooling, you know, the miraculous things that they're doing and how they're exceeding test scores and everything, because it makes them look bad
yes,
for their terrible results. And
right.
another thing, too, just like a true socialist, they want to control everything,
mm-hmm.
own everything, distribute everything, and plan our lives for us. That's what big government does. And thanks to the good, many of these good churches and the homeschoolers, they fought. We have between 1,000 and 2,000 people come to the Capitol, and they
wow.
defeated those two bills, man.
Wonderful.
So, again, when good people are involved, we win, and we got to get more people involved, because if not, we're going to lose our state.
You're right about that. Thank God for you and others like you who are standing as a bulwark against this encroachment upon our liberties coming from the left in California. And for so many decades, we need to see a change. You know, Senator, AB 2943 is in your court now. And what I mean, of course, is it's in the hands
yeah.
of the California Senate. Would you please summarize for us the concern we have with this bill and then update us on its status?
Well, a couple of things. The bill it's an end run to eliminate the Bible, is
right.
what many mm. believe. I know Matt Sharp, the attorney for Alliance Defending Freedom, said this could be a possible violation if a pastor encourages someone from his congregation to visit their church bookstore to purchase books that help these people address their sexual issues. And so the Bible contains those kind of things. And
That's
then
right.
the Pacific Justice Institute said almost the same thing that Alliance Defending Freedom is. It's an end run to get the church out counseling people, adults who want to come out of those licentious lifestyles. And so, again, it's totally and a slap in our face against the church,
yeah.
and they're trying to limit our First Amendment. It's wrong, 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 and we need to stop this one, because this one is the mother of all bad bills.
I agree. I agree. I've read the bill. And, of course, there's no express statement to the effect that it is intended to ban the Bible or the sale of the Bible and so on. The language does seem to me open to that interpretation.
And, well, I've been around here long enough to know when there's an end run. Give them an inch, and this is an end run, and they're defiant to get this bill done.
Yes.
And you know, I've had a couple of people ask me, you know, what are these people deaf to the U.S. Constitution? Do they not understand? Please allow me to explain your audience. There's a lot of these people that they embrace Lenin and Marxist ideologies more than they do Lincoln and Washington. And so they're not deaf. They're on a mission, and they're taking it inch by inch, and they're winning. They have a strategy. It's intentional and strategic, and they are haters of the truth. And, you know, not just with this, but breaking the law, usurping the rule of law with this bill, by taking away our First Amendments, the sanctuary state, and so many other bills, as you probably already know.
Sure, yeah. And just the idea, the audacity, hubris of presuming to say, for example, to a homosexual who's struggling with those issues, who want to come to us for help, and that does happen. I have had that happen several times where someone comes to me and wants help out of that lifestyle. And the idea, the thought, that they can't get the help they're asking for is I don't even know what words to use for this, because it gets out there into the realm of absolute insanity. Here they want to go out of their way to protect the right of the homosexual in every other way, but they don't have a right to not be homosexual? What's that about?
Well, listen, it's backwards thinking, but that's remember, this goes beyond just this issue. Remember, a socialist, a Marxist ideology, or as they call themselves, the nicer words, progressive, that's nothing more than the expansion of the bureaucratic state, where the bureaucrats believe they know more than the citizens, and they want to plan and control our lives. And this isn't just on this bill, but look at on things to our education, every little thing, even sexual education curriculum. Our schools, the wonder they're dropping. California, once number one in the world, has now dropped in America to like 46th or 45th or something like that. And so much of it is social indoctrination, sex, over reading, writing, and arithmetic, you know? Yeah. And instead of teaching our kids to integrate and mold together the intellect and the soul, you know, they're working on this agenda. And so, again, it's just not this bill, but it's that. Even the kind of cars they want us to drive.
Yeah.
Senator Skinner had a bill here on Uber drivers. They want them to be able to only drive electric cars, which isn't going to be very well for the people in the Central Valley. So, I mean, it's control, and it's their thing. So I just want to point that out, that you know, even the money they take from us, and the businesses are running out of California, and the sanctuary states. So what it is they're on a march to control and plan our lives. And we, as citizens who believe in limiting government's power, we have to stop that. And by the way, the most important people that have stopped that is the church. More importantly, according to Alexis de Tocqueville in Democracy in America, got to be the pastors. The pastors are the one who have to lead against this immorality and stop it.
Yeah, that's true. And for some years now, we've been doing battle against this entrenched notion that the church is not to speak to these issues, that the pastors are supposed to, you know, hide all of that and just keep it within the walls of their churches and things like this. And believe me, we've been having quite a war within some of our circles over that issue. But we're winning. We're winning. We're seeing pastors all over the state and all over the country waking up and, you know, putting on the old black robe and rejoining the Black Robe Regiment, if you remember or if you're familiar with all that.
I tell you, for years, I've always have known that it has to be the pastors who have to lead us out of this. And for 30 years, I've been trying to encourage them to do that. And for whatever's happened the last year and a half, the last 2 years, I know it's not me, but God's woken them up, and they still have a long ways to go. This has been going on for 56 years, and we're not going to win it in 5 months or 5 years. But the thing is I already see things. You know, I was in business, and I remember having a business consultant. He said, before you can get results, you got to first have action.
Yeah, that's right.
Once you get actions, then you start producing results.
That's
and we're
right.
seeing there's action out there, the first that I've seen in my entire life. And so God is on the move, man. As Churchill said, when great causes are on the move, stirring all men's souls, drawing them from their far sides, casting aside comfort, wealth, and a pursuit of happiness for awe-inspiring causes. We know that there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which spells duty.
Yeah.
And so what Churchill meant is we never know what Providence is doing up in space. And I believe he's doing something right over our heads, and it's going to be translating into the church once again. Because politics goes beyond just electing people.
Oh, yes.
We got to stop these bills that are immoral. I think it was one of the great pastors, Samuel Kendall, in 1795, said, "All of history lies open for our warning, like a churchyard whose solemn lessons are chiseled in the hard stone of eternity, lessons that thunder to republics. Your passions and your vices forbid you to be free." And if we continue down that state of vices more than virtues, we will lose, as we see, we're losing our freedom. So, again, the church needs to wake up to these things and fight against immorality. You know, when Billy Graham, was interesting watching after he passed away some of his old crusades that he used to have. He didn't mince words. He says, you got to stop your adultery, your drunkenness, your this, your that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And that's why, you know, and so he was not a user-friendly, seeker-sensitive guy. He told people where it was at, and I think it's time pastors and God's people just call right, right, and wrong, wrong. And if we do that, when we repent, then revival will come, right?
That's exactly right. That's what the book tells us. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And that's what we need.
Amen. Yeah. And, you know, a couple other things just on that, too. Nehemiah was the same thing, you know. They had to repent first. Nehemiah first repented, right?
Yes.
Because I think God always has revival. We don't need to call on revival. He's willing.
That's right.
And then Moses, too. He reminds the people of children of Israel as they're entering the promised land. And you're going to be given all this prosperity and a peace and safety to enjoy it, but it's predicated. The caveat is, and he mentions it 12 to 14 times, if I remember, to be careful to follow those moral laws, decrees, and commands. And you do that, you'll have peace, safety, and prosperity in the land. You don't, he says, it leads to the downside of life, right?
Yeah, that's right. It always leads to tyranny and oppression.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
So. All right. Now, my own analysis of AB 2943, along with what limited exposure I've had to some of the arguments I've heard people use to support it, these things are always multi-layered, but it seems that it's this motivation to protect the feelings of the homosexuals, or at least that's a kind of cover or blind they hide behind, and that's how they get sympathy for what it is that they're trying to do. And I've seen over and over and over again that motivation move people more and more into encroaching upon our liberties, upon our freedom, even of speech, First Amendment rights, and so on. And that's just amazing to me that more people aren't seeing this, and perhaps they are. And maybe the good news is that people are beginning to wake up and see that this homosexual agenda is literally being used to take away our rights.
Well, one thing that I've noticed when I got here in different floor debates is Republicans usually argue with reason and common sense. Reason and common sense. But my Democrat friends, they debate with feelings and emotions.
Right.
And we're, whatever time period we are in history, that wins out. You know, you make an emotional argument. You know, something happened to my next-door neighbor's cousin's 14-year-old daughter
right.
35 years ago. Therefore, we should pass this law that, you know, imposes a little bit of tyranny on all of us. And those arguments win. So as Republicans, people of faith, we have to get a little bit better at those things, at those arguments. But the thing is, you know, what this man's doing, Evan Lowe, when you think about it, he had a bad experience, and so he wants to make sure nobody else has that experience.
Exactly.
Whereas there's been millions who have had great experiences, from my understanding.
That's right.
Or at least thousands. And so the thing is, he's placing his opinions upon everybody, blanketing it all. And that's not freedom. That's, again, a step towards tyranny, certainly a step against our First Amendment rights. And so it's not a just cause what he's doing. It's a wrong cause.
It's exactly right. You're playing devil's advocate here somewhat, but to make a point, as I read the bill, it appears the state's argument in that bill is that sex orientation counseling is potentially hazardous to the well-being of homosexuals. What I found really bizarre is that those things they listed as the potential bad effects of sex orientation change therapy or counseling are all the things that bring them to us for counseling. In other words, all those things are already in that culture and driving them to, some of them at least, to look for some help and some way out. And they're being told that there is no way out. And that's the lie, because there is a way out.
Well, my heart grieves when you think about it, that they have the highest suicide rate out of any group. And so far as my friends across the aisle, they make a lot of statements like the one you made. But they've got, I've seen it, man, they've got the making it up disease.
Yeah.
They're always making up stuff just to fit. They have no empirical data. They just quote stuff. And I'd call them on it on the floor. Hey, could you show me where you got that report?
Good.
You know, they come up empty handed, right?
Yeah.
And so they do that kind of stuff all the time. And so there is no empirical data to their case. You know, it's just things that they make up to try to win their case. And that's wrong, too.
You know, state allows for all kinds of products and services to be sold or provided that are advertised. And then they put this little disclaimer on there that says, you know, the state of California has determined that this or that and the other thing will be hazardous to your health and all that. But when it comes to this, they have a different take on it, a different approach. And it's because they actually have a different agenda.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And you look at, we see stuff all the time. The state has warning labels that alcohol, the sale of alcohol to pregnant women requires a notice because that could hurt them. We know that there's dangers, have been told us to not drink and drive at the same time. And so, I mean, yeah, they don't apply the same rule of law that we do for other things that are on common sense.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So it's again, they're just, they have a agenda and they're doing their best to carry it out. So I'm grateful that your radio station is getting out the word and making people aware, bringing light to this very dark place up here.
Man, that's the effort. That is the effort. And I want to get more involved in our state concerns. And, you know, this bill is problematic and troubling on so many levels. I mean, it sets the state up as arbiter on questions of morality. I mean, in the debate on that whole matter, in the scientific community, is by no means settled, and so on. I mean, it goes on and on and on. This whole thing is obviously being used as a way to unpack more socialism, more control of the government, social engineering, all that kind of stuff, which is something that's germane to the whole socialist way of thinking, controlling virtually every aspect of our lives.
Yeah, and I just want to state one thing in case if your listeners didn't hear. You made a very good point, is we're going to have people, arbiters, who are going to be bureaucrats, where some pastor may end up going to before this board of unelected government, supposedly public servants, who are going to believe they're the masters of the universe, and they're going to dictate that person's future. That is not freedom.
That's exactly right. It's not. It's oppression. Thank you 1,000 times for making time for us today. God bless you, sir.
You know what? It's an honor to be on your show. I'm grateful. You just call me anytime you'd like, and I will be there.
Wonderful. I appreciate that very much. We'll take you up on that, my friend. God bless you. God bless America. And hopefully, if you're ever in our area, I'll see you in church.
I love it. I'd love to be there.
All right, my friend. God bless you. Senator Mike Morrell, we're praying for you, sir. Have a good day.
Tune in Saturday at 12 noon.